Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Ever since March, we've been waiting for the world to go back to normal, whatever normal means. The COVID-19 pandemic and our human response to it have turned our world inside out and upside down. Daily life is barely recognizable compared to what it looked like 10 months ago. Many people work from home now, isolated from their colleagues, and even with virtual meetings on Zoom, there's no longer a sense of community. Whatever happened to the water cooler conversation? If your office is open, I'm told that just one cough or sniffle can get you sent home for 2 weeks. It's crazy. Parents, teachers, and students cry. They scream at each other endlessly while trying to navigate all the school stuff. I had a conversation with another pastor friend the other day. I said that the remote learning seems to be like the kids do a lot of crying and we do a lot of shouting. And he said, well, in his house, it's just the reverse. He and his wife do all the crying and the kids do all the shouting. Restaurants and other small businesses struggle to stay in business while they're not permitted to offer dine-in service. And even though they can offer it outdoors, let's face it, who wants to sit outside in the cold after dark in the 20s or 30s to eat a meal? Not me. On top of that, we have to take reservations for church for Christmas Eve, something I never thought in a million years would ever happen in our church. I don't like it either, but that's where we're at. And so we long for life to go back to the way it was. The words of today's psalm resonate with us. Restore us again, O God of our salvation. Will you not revive us again? The church has made Psalm 85 its own prayer. In historical context, it was the Jewish exiles in Babylon who cried out for God to bring back the good old days. Restore us again, O God of our salvation. Put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry forever? In other words, how long, O Lord, until you reverse our bad fortune and restore us to the promised land? How long before you forgive us and give us a second chance? Have you forgotten about us completely? Or have you just permanently put us on the naughty list? When, Lord, are you going to do something about our situation? The Jews were in exile because God punished them for their sin. He was very patient with his people, repeatedly sending the prophets to warn them, to tell them to repent, to turn away from their sin and turn to God. Unfortunately, they didn't listen. And God put up with a lot of evil. He even put up with idolatry. But as soon as they started killing their kids and offering them as human sacrifices, the Lord said to King Manasseh, enough is enough. You guys are done. And I'm going to wipe you off the map. And so in 586 BC, God sent King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the greatest megalomaniac that ever lived, to destroy Judah. He laid siege to Jerusalem. He starved the inhabitants to the point that they had to resort to cannibalism in order to eat. And when he finally breached the city, the soldiers killed so many people, including civilians, that the streets ran with rivers of blood. That's how Jeremiah describes it. The Babylonians tore down the walls of Jerusalem. They burned the temple to the ground. They took the best and the brightest, the royals, the nobles, the priests, the merchants, and carted them off to exile in Babylon. And then the remainder was left to try to farm from the scorched earth. There were not enough survivors to bury all the corpses. And so they just shoveled them all into a mass grave south of the city and set it afire. So our text, Psalm 85, is the heartfelt cry for relief from those Jewish exiles in Babylon who suffered in a foreign land where they were not allowed to worship or pray to the Lord. The prophet Daniel got thrown into the lion's den for praying three times a day to the Lord God Yahweh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his friends, they were cast into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down and worship the statue of the king. How long must God's people endure such oppression and punishment? The prophet Jeremiah told them it would be 70 years. 70 years of exile. And then Cyrus the Persian, oh wait, that's later in the sermon. But 70 years is a long time. And who can blame them for crying out that God would save them? When they could eat from their own fields, drink from their own vineyards, worship God when they wanted. Yet even in the midst of despair, the Jewish exiles held on to hope. Psalm 85 is a prayer directed to the Lord. The very one who, yes, punished them, the one who sent the disaster, but the one, and to be fair, remember, they brought it on themselves by ignoring him, but he also had the power to do something about their situation. And so the first three verses of our psalm recall a time when the Lord did forgive his people, when the Lord did restore them to the land. It's probably talking about the cycle of the judges. And according to one Bible scholar, this recollection of the past is a frequent feature of corporate prayers. The people of God would look to God's actions in the past to give them hope in the present that God will do something in the future. You look back to find future hope. And indeed, the final verses of this psalm look to this deliverance with confidence. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. These future indicative verbs are statements of fact of what will happen. They're not half-hearted subjunctives. They're not the maybes or the might or the could. It's not about what God could do or might do or maybe will do. It's what he absolutely will do. And so these are a confession of faith, these final verses of our psalm. Isaiah the prophet, the great prophet of the exile, holds out this joyful hope in our Old Testament reading today. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Not with the voice of wrath and anger anymore. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is ended. And that was a very bad war, as I described. That her iniquity is pardoned. And think of the horror of human sacrifice. Terrible evil. Forgiven. Pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. These words of comfort are spoken to a repentant people, sinners who turn away from their sin and turn to God for mercy. That's the basic meaning behind the Hebrew word for restore in our psalm. Usually it's translated as turn or return. It's the Old Testament word for repentance. The theme of today, the theme that John the Baptist preached when he said, repent, turn, the kingdom of God is at hand. Paul writes in Romans 2 that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Judah's dream finally came true in the 530s BC when Cyrus the Persian issued his famous edict allowing them to return to their homeland. And he was so generous that he even gave them a blank check. And he said, whatever it costs to rebuild your temple, I'll pay it. God answered their prayer. That prayer, restore us, O God. He answered it. He restored them. Indeed, in Psalm 126, it says that when the Lord restored our fortune, we were like those who dream. But the return of the exiles was an imperfect peace. At the least, it was incomplete. Salvation had come, but salvation still needed to come again. They were safely back in the land of their fathers and mothers, the promised land of Israel. But ultimate salvation would not come until Jesus the Messiah died on the cross for their sins and for your sins and mine. ultimate restoration for us will not come when the restaurants open again and the mask orders are lifted. Restoration will come when Christ returns. And when Christ makes all things new and ushers in the new creation. The prayer of Israel is our prayer too. Restore us again, O God of our salvation. Restore us. Bring us to repentance. You know, even people have different definitions of what normal is, right? My cousin Lindsay says that normal is just a setting on a dishwasher. But even if life gets back to normal in 2021, was normal that good to begin with? Even if the pandemic ends tomorrow, the world will still be a wreck. Because even before the coronavirus, our world was full of wickedness, full of sin, full of death, full of disease. The ruin of the world is evident ever since Adam and Eve sinned and God cursed the ground. Our bodies die because of sin. Our souls are sick because of sin. We need God to restore us. We need God to restore the earth. We need God to bring us to repentance and to bring about the salvation that only Christ can accomplish. When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave our sins. When he rose again, he opened heaven to all believers. And when he comes again, he will raise our bodies from the dead and make all things new. Then steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Then righteousness and peace will kiss one another. Only then will God's glory dwell, not just in the land of Israel, but in all the earth. Like the great vision of Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. That day will come. Christ is coming soon. And until then we pray, restore us again, O God of our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.